Welcome to the Grand Final Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus, and this week we're joined by the full crew. Very exciting. Welcome back, Donk.
G'day, mate. I am in a house. Anyone on YouTube today can see that I'm in a house for the first time in a long time. So happy to be here, mate.
Congratulations. And Faz, welcome back to the show.
G'day, everyone. Love the new background you got there, Mark. It's fooling us all. Thank you.
We got Dunny as well.
G'day, everyone. Great to be back for the grand final.
And Bryce is joining us on the road, such is the dedication. Thanks, Bryce, and welcome.
I have serious FOMO. I can hear Dunny and I can hear Marcus. Can't hear the other two, but I'm just glad I'm here.
Love it. I'll make sure I do the cues to you then. Anyway, we got us all together because it is the grand final show. Everybody's bloody run out of trades after last week's horror show, and we thought it'd be a bit of fun to see each other's faces. Some of us are still trapped in lockdown, Faz and I. Surprisingly in the minority here. Everybody else is swanning around having a good time. But no, it's exciting to have the full crew on for the show. We'll have a bit of a chat about some lessons learnt potentially as well, and answer three questions from social media. We'll work through those and get on with things. So let's start with a bit of an update around the grounds. And for listeners who've been tracking the Supercoach Coach podcast hosts, well, no, it is a very, very tight competition, jockeying for positions, for a bit of pride and a bit of bragging rights heading into next year. I think most of you are about 200 points off each other. I'm clear and away, number one. Yes. But then there's Bryce, and I think he's about 180 points off Faz and Dunny. And Mark is a little bit behind that as well. So lots to play for. It's a very exciting finish. I'm looking forward to hearing the around the grounds. Donk, how was your weekend?
Yeah, good, mate. I made 3 out of 3 grand finals, which was good. I had a few bad weeks previously, which is why I was only in 3 prelims. I scored 23.83, rose about 500 spots, so sitting about 3,600. Absolutely loved Danger's efforts because he was a bit of unique, and Timmy Taranto as well. That was pretty awesome for him to shine when it needed him. I know a lot of people would have traded him out by now. What a schmozzle that defense was, though, with Highmore, Mills, and Stewart. Like, it just got worse and worse as the week.
And then May? Oh,
yeah. Luckily, I wasn't too affected by those guys, but my Stewart to Rich trade, which I thought was going to be a bonanza, didn't work out. So Rich only got 65, but I don't think I copped it as bad as some of you guys.
Yeah, I have 3 outs, Mills, Lloyd, and Stewart, and made me feel really silly about wasting a trade on Josh Kelly last week, especially after he scored 148. So, yeah, he was one of my final 2 trades, which I was bragging about, with negative points. Quite infuriating. Anyway, Faz, how'd you go?
Got caught by that backline carnage as well. I was feeling all right. For once, not having Tom Stewart was looking like a good move, but the Stephen May late withdrawal on Sunday really put paid to that. Briggs being out as well meant that I copped a donut in the back line as well as Bianco's rookie cover. But that being said, a 23-27, can't be too upset with that with the donut in the team. I've had Laird in my midfield, I think, since round 2 when I brought Callum Mills into the side. And I guess I completed the circle there, moving Laird back into the back line and Mills to Bontempelli. So thank you for your service, Callum. Hopefully there'll be some runs in the team again in the future, and certainly missed the boat with Bontempelli for what's been a cracking season, but hopefully a grand final appearance will be enough to chase down Bryce, who I think is about 200 points in front of me. Dunny, we're just about neck and neck. It's about 10 points between us, as you've said at the outset. Overall ranking doesn't really matter. It's just about how you do against your mates, and we've come down to a very tight finish there.
And I know there's going to be one person cheering against your Bontempelli pick, hoping that Port does a big number on the Bulldogs. Dunny, your team's catching on fire in the AFL heading into finals. How's your Supercoach team doing?
Supercoach team has gone really well. I made 4 out of 4 finals from my 4 prelims on the weekend, and most importantly, my cash league, which I was very happy about. I scored 24.72 on the weekend. Which saw me jump just on 1,000 places up to 3444. So one of my better finishes in the last couple of years. Last week, I also made the Josh Kelly trade, which I'd love not to have made now because I ended up not needing it to win my final last week. But brought in Hugh McCluggage, who came out with 113 this week, which I was pretty happy with. Yeah, looking forward to trying to chase down Bryce. It'd be lovely to chase you down too, Marcus, but I don't think that's going to happen.
That was a huge score, Danny, so well done. If you can repeat that sort of heroics, you should do pretty well in your Cash League grand final there. Bryce, how do you go? How was your weekend?
Not too bad, considering I've been out of trades for about 4 weeks. Pendlebury permanently at M8 and copped two premium injuries. Had three rookies on field, had McRae's vice-captain score and a couple other good ones. So managed to go up a couple hundred ranks, currently sitting at about 2,500. And I'm just keen to hang on for dear life and get through this last round. But really, we're just here for you, Marcus, and cheering you home to get that KFC keyring and those wonderful socks and the KFC voucher. I'm not sure $15 is going to go around to all of us, but yeah, we'll do our best to cheer you home anyway. So how did you go the last week?
Thanks, Bryce. I don't know if Mark's cheering me on with the same vigor, so I appreciate those kind words. I scored 23.56. Wasn't amazing, but I had three injured premiums, I guess, so could only cover one of them. Luckily, Durham did pretty well. I made 50 points on the 100 I need to cash in on those super coach socks. So keep my fingers crossed. Hopefully, Mills and Lloyd get back and then I'll be looking pretty sweet. But it's going to be a tight one. We'll see how we go. We'll do a quick update in terms of our super coach group. The leader for that overall is still super coach Mama, who had a very good weekend in the overall stakes. I think she put gap on her competitors. Obviously, there was a lot of carnage everywhere, but Emily did pretty well out of that. So it should be odds on favorite to hold on, and don't want to jinx her, but fairly optimistic heading into the last round. So very exciting there. In terms of our Patreon group, we have a new leader, which is very exciting. Daniel's More Midtime, scoring 2,508 and catapulting him into the lead for our cash Patreon tip at the end of the season. He's now 100 points ahead of the next team, Zach's Patton's Generals, and another 70 points behind him is Josh's Slapnut Magoos, and then another 50 behind him, Travis's Styling and Profiling. So still a shot for some of those guys, but Daniel with a huge final score second last week, storming out into the front, and we'll see if he can hold on for one more week there. The top score for our Patreon group was Brendan's team, B-Rods, with a score of 26.07 for the round, giving him a round rank of 21. So absolutely huge for B-Rods. He jumped me into 10.50th overall. All right, we've got three questions for this week's show, so we'll get them out of the way and then we'll just have a bit of a chat and talk about the season that has been with our podcast host. We'll start with, well, this one's not really a question, but Tim from the Herald Sun asked us whether or not he can have more trades, which is interesting because I thought he'd be the one who potentially is granting some wishes there, but such is the environment at the moment. Everyone's sort of feeling that way. Donk made a joke at the start of the show that we might not have anybody listening to this because everyone's well over Supercoach, so we'll have to check the listenership count after this has been released. But our first real question is from at Lethal Lee. If a genie granted me a trade or two, who should I use my theoretical trade on, assuming Mills and or May don't play, to avoid another crushing defeat by a donut? There's a few players out there who may or may not come back. Considering they're not playing the next round, it doesn't really matter who you keep. I mean, basically at this stage of the season, you're just trading out the guy who's worth the most money so that you can sideswap him.
So we're now talking about theoretical trades in a fantasy sports game. We really haven't got – we can say whatever we want because there's nobody listening to this show right now. If answering seriously, though, if you've got the cash, I'll go Daniel Rich. I know he didn't perform well, but I think that he will come back this week. Hang on. Yeah. You said we've got three questions. One of them wasn't a question, or it was from someone who couldn't even really ask the question. The second one was about a theoretical trade. And now we've got to the final question. Here we go.
This one's from Ashley from Facebook. Do I get Degoe in for Toby Green if there's no more carnage, or keep Toby Green and hope he goes big against the Blues like he normally does. So Dugowie is just so on fire at the moment that it'd be pretty tempting to bring him in as an upgrade, I guess, potentially for Toby Green, who may have a bit more variance to his scoring. Bryce, how does that sound to you?
Is this a trolling question for FB Donkey? I mean, Green seems a pretty good option to hold, you'd think, against Carlton. To go, he's in pretty good form. He's probably someone you want for a longer period of time. It's one of those ones which could end up in a negative result. Green could outscore Dugowie pretty easily. I'd probably feel better about holding the trade and using it on something else, but there may not be something else. It's a tricky situation. 1 week punts are really difficult to predict, and you just got to back your gut, I think, is probably the best advice that I could give in to that particular question.
Yeah, I'm pretty tempted by Jordan Dugowie, I think. Huge loss on the weekend. They almost lost by 100 points, yet Dugowie still cobbled together 120-odd. So got Essendon this week. Hopefully it's another loss for Collingwood coming up. But even in a loss, I think he's showing that he's got that scoring ability. Toby obviously spends a lot more time up forward. I guess Carlton, they should be on top of that contest and scoring pretty well. But I guess that's the reason why we're always looking for midfielders that are in other lines. They've just got that consistency of scoring. GWS could win by 5 goals and Toby still have a poor one, but I think Dugowie is a pretty safe bet for a good score. Given that it's your last trade, I guess that you've also got that option of you could put Toby Green or any other fringe premiums, put them on the bench with the E on them, and then even if it has to be a high-priced rookie and you're doing a side swap with them, it's the final round, as Bryce mentioned, anything can happen. So you could go Toby on the bench if you're that way inclined, wait to see how he scores, and then just do a side swap to sort of whoever you can afford with that rookie.
Dugowie has been on an outstanding little charge of form lately. He's been playing really well and getting that midfield time, which is really helping him out. So I don't mind that. But the other thing I was sort of thinking about with Toby Green was just looking at what the Port forwards did to Carlton last week, kicking 19 goals in a row. Imagine what Toby could do if they get on that sort of a run this weekend.
Let's move on to a captain's corner. I think the advice there was all pretty sound. But sorry,
there was one real question. I didn't even get asked my opinion on it. I'd say where we stand.
All right, Mark, chime in.
Surely you've got better things you can do with your trades than Green to Dugowie. There's got to be bigger problems out there.
I think you're right, though. I think there'll be something else come up that you'll need to use your trade on. I don't think anyone's going to have any luxury trades, surely.
Yeah, the talk is that there'll be likely quite a few restings with the pre-finals bye moving out, so that will certainly be interesting. But I think the talk is that they'll move it later into the finals, so potentially before the grand final, before prelims. So that may suit us or work in our favour in the sense that a club may be concerned, especially if you're in the top four, of taking maybe 3 weeks off in sort of a 5-6 week patch. So fingers crossed it's not as chaotic as we potentially anticipating, but there's a chance for some carnage to happen for sure. All right, we're on to Captain's Corner, and there's a bonus question. So this one's from Corey Blackledge. He's asking whether or not Luke Parker or Aaron Hall as VCs this week could be interesting because they've got juicy matchups. Which is pretty interesting because in terms of the Supercoach projections, the auto-generated ones on Supercoach Plus, Aaron Hall actually has the highest projected round 23 score against Adelaide. Round 9 last year, he scored 134 points against them. And earlier this year, he scored 133 points against them. So some good pedigree there. Don't really mind that too much. But the fixture has come out since that question was asked. So just keep in mind, Adelaide versus North is the last game of the round. So he's a backup captain potentially, but not a VC. Anyone have any thoughts on that? Take a punt on Parker.
Parker's been in super form, mate. Yeah, I wouldn't like to have Aaron Hall as my captain, though.
No. Nah.
He's a BC sort of guy.
Luke Parker against Gold Coast did score 94 against them this year. Prior 3, 141, 106, and 125.
if I'm looking for a VC this week, it's going to be nearly impossible to go past Jack McRae. His last couple against Port, which were both here, like 142, 113, we don't tend to do a great deal of tagging, really. So I think he would be an outstanding choice. Friday night, the other problem I think we've had, or I know I've had in the last couple of weeks, is for some reason all of the rookies that we're sort of stuck with on the bench seem to all be playing now, which making it harder and harder to actually use your loophole. So just be really careful in using your VC option, because you may not, yeah, if you leave it too late in the weekend to take your VC, to have a VC, you may not be able to actually take them. So just keep an eye on that. If I didn't do it in the first two games last week, I wouldn't have been able to take a VC because all my other guys were either locked out or were actually playing. So, but yeah, I'll definitely be going McRae. If he fails, not sure who I'll be going to next. Hopefully you guys can give me some advice there. But
certainly agree with your VC pick there, Dunny. I think a bit of a toss-up between McRae and Bontempelli as it is most weeks, but with the form McRae's been in recently, it's hard to look past him. I agree it's a bit harder to pick the captaincy backup from there. You've got Brisbane up against West Coast, so if you're a Jared Lyon owner, I think that looks like a pretty good option. St Kilda v Frio, so Jack Steele has been in a tremendous run of form recently. I think he was almost on 100 points at halftime on the weekend before finishing on just about 100, so that was a bit of a strange second half from him. But before then, I think it's been a long string of 140, 150s. Essendon play Collingwood, so you've got Parrish, Merritt there. I have found that Merritt's doesn't seem to be as good as putting the boot in as some of the other players. In those sort of one-sided contests, he still puts out a 120, 110, not sort of the 140 pluses that you see elsewhere. But I'm just a bit cautious that it seems like all the good sides are playing each other this week. As you mentioned, Dogs, Port Adelaide on Friday night, and then Geelong v Melbourne on Saturday night. So I'm a little concerned about going for any of the premiums in those two games. I guess the Bulldogs play as a side as a VC option, but I'd just be a bit worried about a Clayton Oliver or Petrarca or Dangerfield, just because a lot of point winners and possession winners in that game. So it's just how that pie gets sliced up there. So I'd be looking for someone who's in a bit more of a one-sided game to be my captain backup.
What do you guys think of a Rory Laird against North in that last game?
Yeah, that was going to be my option. He hasn't gone under 100 for about the last 10 weeks, has only posted a couple of really big scores in that time. But he just as a safe option in that last game, you'd think that Rory Laird would be that guy. I guess it depends with your grand finals and how you're going and whether you need to take a risk or not. I guess you could potentially get to that last game and have Laird as your guy if you don't need to make up points, but have Aaron Hall as your guy if you do need to make up points with the higher ceiling. So that strategy, or potentially Zach Merritt for me. It was interesting to hear Faz say that he doesn't put the boot in big wins and one-sided contests. I think Faz might be expecting us to crush the Pies this weekend, which would be very nice. I would probably have, yeah, Merritt or Laird as the backup to McRae. And it's just, as Dunny said, it's just too hard to go past McRae in that first game, even against good quality opposition.
The one that hasn't been mentioned that I actually like is Clayton Oliver. Now, recognize that slice of the pie is certainly interesting against Geelong with so many potential scorers there. But his lowest score against Geelong in five games is 102. Played Geelong earlier in the season and scored 130. Other games against them, 111, 141, 123, 127, and then that low of 102 was all the way back in 2017. So he is typically probably a better captaincy option than VC at times. Just he's a pretty steady hand. So McRae into Oliver will probably be where I go. Hall is probably the next closest one. So that's all our content for season 2021 on our main show. We're now going to break off to a Patreon recording, a bonus 30 minutes on lessons learned. So if you're interested in getting on to some bonus content, hearing about what we've learned from the season and setting up your subscription to roll over for next year, and getting on to some fantastic preseason content, jump on to patreon.com/supercoachcoach. A big shout out to all our Patreons for your ongoing support this year. 13 years in, and we definitely would have stopped if not for the contributions to help us cover the costs and keep us going. So thank you very much, patrons, and tune in there if you're looking for some bonus content. Thank you. Now back to the outro for the main show.
Look, that was heaps of fun. We ended up chatting for a little while, so I think we might sort of just pass around the tables for a final sign-off for the season. And before I do pass around the table, I'll just say thank you very much for the listeners who are still tuning in at this stage of the season. A very big thank you, especially to the patrons who are subscribed to us. This is a community-funded show. We do this because we enjoy chatting with each other, but also sharing that knowledge out with the community. Thank you so much. We really wouldn't be still doing this without some support to keep us going. And a big thank you to all of you hosts and guests on the show. Like, it's been great to have you on board. And like I said, I probably would have quit this a while sooner if it wasn't so fun talking to you, Jen. So thanks for the season, and I might sort of pass around the table.
Thanks, Marcus. Really well said there. You know, obviously the listeners are huge part of this show, and we wouldn't be doing it if there wasn't so many people tuning in every week. So thanks everyone for coming on board for another year and for all the great questions that really spark a lot of the discussion. You know, people that have been listening for a while probably know this, but we don't sort of have points that we're going to talk on. We just sort of put the call out there for questions, and oftentimes things come up that we weren't even considering. So thanks for everyone's engagement, and just a big thank you to you as well, Marcus. At home, it might not be as obvious, but I think we all know as co-hosts of the show how much work you put in behind the scenes and wrangling us and getting us having Bryce call in from his drive home. So, yeah, thank you for all the work you've done for yet another year. It's appreciated by, I'm sure, all the listeners, but by us co-hosts as well.
Yeah, we were supposed to end this with a bit of a Marcus takedown, so thanks, Fast.
Yes, I mucked that up. Read it.
Bryce, you got a good segue there from the man in the car who's now at home. Thanks for joining us for the last show, mate. Appreciate the efforts to join in.
No, I think Faz said everything that needed to be said there and the job that you do, Marcus. So, yeah, we thank you for all the behind-the-scenes stuff that you do that goes unnoticed. So, yeah, obviously thanks to the listeners and the Patreons that enable the show. And also like to think about the guys and girls, Emily up the top there, and wish her all the best in taking home the first prize. And there's a few others that are up in the top 10 that followers on Twitter that have listened to the show over the course of the, is it 13 years now?
Yeah.
Yep. So long-time listeners, and hopefully one of them takes it home for the community. And just, I guess, we're on to other things. In our off seasons, FPL and BBL Supercoach. So there's always a fantasy around, but this is the main course when it comes to the year of fantasy. So yeah, thanks for having me on the show throughout the year.
Follow Bryce Mitchell if you are looking for any continuation of fantasy content during the off season. I know we had a few people listen to Josh come on last week and go, "Bloody hope Bryce is taking the helm for a BBL spin-off." So you can certainly go to his Twitter account for continued content there. Thanks, Bryce. Dunny?
Can't really say much more than the other boys have already, but big special thanks to the Patreons and to all the listeners out there. As the guys have said, this show is basically nothing without you guys. You know, you contribute the questions. So basically you guys dictate the content. We just, you know, Marcus just tells us to turn up and then we find out what we're supposed to be talking about from you. So, no, and it's been lots of fun as always. So thanks for having me back. Really love being part of this community. Probably one of the favorite parts of my year is hanging out and just talking rubbish with you guys about Supercoach. So,
And Dunny's had a pretty good career season this year. So well done, Dunny, on charging up the ladder. I know you were keen to turn things around after last year, so I'm glad to see you chasing Bryce down hard at this stage of the season.
Thanks, mate. And I was just going to say a big congratulations to Marcus for winning the competition this year. I don't think any of us will catch him this week. So I know it pains Mark to see that happen. I know he's been on top for a number of years now as he shakes his head. But, good job, mate. And as the other guys said, you know, this show wouldn't run without you behind the scenes. So thanks very much.
All right, the man from the road.
Yeah. So Dunny might have given up, but I haven't, Marcus. It's only I think it's only about 750 points that I need to get you this week. I do like the fact that Dunny thinks that I've had the upper hand for the last few years. I think that's nice that he thinks that.
Yeah, I don't know how the messaging has been contorted there.
I think it's mainly because Mark gives all the messaging and just sort of puts himself in the front, maybe. I don't know.
People listen to the content on the show and they just assume, is my guess. I haven't had the chance to spend much time with Danny, Bryce and Faz this year. I've been listening to you where we listen to you in the car while we're driving around, which has been good, but haven't got to hang out with you guys as much. But Marcus has put up with a lot of crap from me this year. Normally it's the other way around, but we've done some weird shit this year. Like I was outside the alcohol shop in Catherine or Mataranka where just as the alcohol shop opened, and it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was just like 35 degrees. I'm sitting in the car. I was sweating my guts out. And there's all like these dodgy people walking into the bar as it's opening up. And I was just like locking the doors and just freaking out in the car. But the internet connection's been terrible at times. And Marcus has been extremely patient. I think we've had to re-record several bits over the course of the year. So I'm really appreciative of him doing that for me. And yeah, I guess if I wasn't on the road, clearly, I would be in front at this point, but I do plan on being on the road for next year as well, so you will have some more tales from the road next year, and hopefully we'll have some more stories.
It's been fun to keep up with your adventures, and you've done really well too. We had a question from one of our patrons asking how the hell you've managed your team not blowing up and still getting on the show through your travels away. So it's been really good to get you on for a bit more content. It's actually, I think we've had you on for a bit more this year, so it's been really nice.
Don't have a job.
All right, so that's enough of an outro. Thank you again, everyone, so much. And with that, we'll wish you all the best for grand final and see you for season 2022. All the best.
Yeah.
Bye.
See ya.
See ya.